Psalm 92 in your Bibles, please. Psalm 92, we're going to begin reading here before we get into it here. I'm not going to preach anything as amazing and as profound as I usually do. I know that's what you're used to, but sorry to disappoint you, and I'm just kidding. But it's something that's convicted my heart. It's something that I've actually shared with the young people before in the past, and I've really been waiting and excited to share it with you tonight. Psalm 92, we're just going to read the whole psalm here, starting here, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. I love that verse. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. For thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I say amen to all of that. I believe one of the greatest mistakes that, at least I do, sometimes we make as God's children, is we forget how simple the Christian life really is. It's not always easy because of our flesh, but it is very simple. One of the reasons that we forget, or we complicate, or as Paul say, we depart from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, is because we put our value in things that, frankly, do not matter, and we forget the things that truly matter to God. You could pretty much sum up most of the woes that have befallen our country with simply Satan completely reversing and distorting the things that really matter. A baby, a beautiful, innocent child, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. It's just a little mass of flesh, incapable of any kind of pain. Can't feel any pain or emotion or any sense of being. Of course, modern science has recently caught up to the Bible, and they have discovered that children, even in the womb, experience all of those things. But, you know, they don't want to hear it, even when they're this small. We are told that marriage is an ancient, oppressive, terrible institution. It's outdated. Only if a man wants to marry a woman anyway. That's what they say. But a life of hedonism and unfaithfulness and empty selfish living somehow leads to complete satisfaction and total fulfillment. But I believe personally one of the greatest lies that our country has been told, that's been propagated, probably started in the 60s, is that everything and everyone that has any kind of experience on life or wisdom or age is of no value whatsoever. In the 60s, a man named Jack Weinberg said, "Don't trust anyone over 30. Well, how old is he now? He's probably pushing his 70s right now, so what does he say to that? I remember in 2009, Al Gore told a bunch of kids in a classroom, don't listen to your parents. Listen, we got a lot to learn from you. Listen, your parent," he literally said, "your parents don't know as much as you do. We need to learn from you." What he was trying to say is, please give me money for global warming, so I can build a beach on, or build a house on Malibu, where there's supposed to be the floods, but never happens. You know, that's the foolishness of this world. They value things that are young, and they're fresh, and they're exciting, and they abhor the old and the wise. But it is not so in God's kingdom. I want you to read again in this psalm, verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That means strength and vigor. God recognizes that there is a strength that comes from age, from experience, from patience and wisdom. These are the things that truly matter, and the things that truly matter take time. They don't come instantly. You can't get them at Walmart. I'm sorry, even though I love Walmart. They are cultivated by the grace of God. This passage here is speaking of mighty cedar trees. You ever notice that nobody admires a young tree? Do you ever see someone go, wow, look at that little twig. I could snap it in half. That's amazing. No one ever does that. When you go out here to the new building and see our little tiny trees, and they have to be propped up by rubber bands and these pieces of wood because it can't stand up straight, or you go down the highway and these big old palm trees still have to be braced, you don't really get a feeling of confidence or strength or awe. But if you go further into town, you'll find oak trees that have lived for 40, 50, 60 more years. They've survived all the hurricanes that we've gone through. Entire buildings that man has created was not able to withstand what some of those trees have been able to. That is something that gives people pause. And there is a strength tonight that does not diminish with any age, but it grows only more and more through the grace and the power of God. And this strength is well known as the fruit of the Spirit. I told you before that the Christian life is very simple, and it is. God does not look to you as the world does and search for success, influence, power, position, or even prosperity. He looks for something very different. You want to know what God wants from you and I tonight? I told you, it's very simple. It's not complicated. Jesus said one of his last things he said before he was crucified in John 15. Herein is my Father glorified. You want to glorify God? Here it is. That ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Simple. When God looks at you, he is looking for fruit. You don't have to bear riches or glory. Thank goodness. He just wants fruit. And the better news is the fruit is not something you can obtain on your own. It is grown through the power and the grace of Almighty God. It is grown in his strength and not our own. But we are involved as well, as I will show you. If you would indulge me, I ask you to turn to Galatians, if you would, in your Bibles. I think you know where I'm turning to. It's a very famous passage in Scripture. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 16 down. This is Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, strong language here, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's some very strong language there. I want you to know something real quick. Did you notice that there are works of the flesh, but then there's fruits of the Spirit? You know, that's labeled for a reason. Anyone can do a work of sin at any time. It's very easy to have envy or anger or lust or lasciviousness. It that quick. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that God cultivates in your heart. It's something that takes time. It's something that grows more and more beautiful as you journey through with Christ, if we're seeing to them. Now, I told you before, I don't have a fancy outline, sorry, or an alliterated format for this passage, but you know what? It's not necessary because God puts it in order right here. And you know, I would encourage everyone tonight to make it, once in a while, a spiritual exercise to go to this passage and just ask the Holy Spirit if these fruits, exist in your heart, and they're growing in your heart. Because I'm telling you, every time I read this passage, it's happening right now, I get convicted. I encourage you to do that. Again, no fancy outline. We're just going to go through these one by one quickly. The very first fruit you notice here in verse 22, it's not there on accident. The very first fruit is, what is it? Love. I want you to remember this. Everything begins with God and God's love. For God so cared for the world? No. For God so liked the world? No. For God so loved the world. Everything that we have, everything that we are, has always began with his love for us. Think about how God's love has affected you spiritually. Do you ever think to consider that terms like salvation, Christian, redeemed, born again, these terms would not exist at all if it was not for the love of Christ and what he did for us. We wouldn't be here. A beautiful building back there. We're getting all these tables and chairs tomorrow. None of this would happen. We wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be staring at me, and I wouldn't be staring at you. None of us would be here tonight if it wasn't for the fact that someone did something for you, and that's God. That his love for you changed your life. That's why you're here tonight. Hopefully. You're not here for me. I know that. But that's why you're here. And that's why we're all here. God has changed us. But not just spiritually. Also think circumstantially. The young people spent a few weeks watching these videos on creation. And it truly is amazing. When you consider how manicured this world that God has created for us. The temperature. The atmosphere. The way the moon revolves for the waves of the ocean, the magnetic fields, the distance from the sun, the other revolutions of the planets. God had made this beautiful world. And it's not just a world where we can breathe. It's a world of beauty. It's a world of amazing wonder. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for us. The clothes on your back, the food on your table, the things that he has provided for us are all testament to his love. The key to this fruit tonight is that you must recognize that love and that you must love God first and above all. A missionary once told me, and I never forgot this, every time a missionary comes and presents, said, Andy, you can love the mission field. You can love the people of that mission field, but I have news for you. One day that love is going to go away because those people will frustrate you. Those people will let you down. You will let yourself down, your family, your loved ones, your friends, all of them. And on the mission field, it is not the people that you love. It is the God who loves those people. If you love God, you'll stay on the mission field. But if you're just in it for those people, one day you're going to leave. Because God's love is first and paramount above all other things. It's very simple tonight. You cannot cultivate the fruit of the Spirit without love. And by the way, this is not any ordinary love, as you know. The world's version of love is, oh, I love you, we're on a boat, now the boat's sinking, let's get in the water, and oh, you're going to freeze to death, and I'm going to live. Oh, yeah, that's a great love story, it's so beautiful. Most famous love movie ever. It's ridiculous. That's the world's version of love. But God's version of love is sacrifice. About 4 years ago, they did a survey, and I think it was 73% out of 10,000 people who got a divorce checked, he or she doesn't make me happy anymore. Well, I'm sorry. They don't make you happy anymore? That's not love. Love seeketh not his own. Love is sacrifice. The love of God, agape love. And that's the love that should be shed abroad in our heart. If there's one thing that should always be evident in a Christian's life who says, I'm a child of God, it's the love of God. The sacrificial love of God in our hearts. Very quickly, the second thing. First there's love, then there's joy. And I want you to remember this. Joy is the natural result of someone who is forgiven. Joy comes out of love. It should be the first fruit to follow after being saved, for grace and love always lead to joy if you revel in that love. If you have a desire to serve Christ, then you must do so with joy. May 14th, I remember, is my 6-year anniversary. So if Sarah's listening, I remembered, honey, at least for now. So we'll be married 6 years, May 14th, I remembered. And if I went to Sarah and I said, oh, here's some flowers and here's some candy. And, oh, my goodness, I love you. Thank you. This is so sweet. And if I said, well, I didn't want to do it, but I had to do it. It's my duty as a husband. Do you think for a second I would get credit for any of that? No, I get zero credit for that. I don't want to do it, but here you go. But I want to do it because in joy, our duty for God becomes a delight. We should delight to do his will. That's what joy is. The problem is we let a lot of things get in the way of our joy, don't we? The kids in Sunday school sing a song. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? You all heard that song before? There's some people in church. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? I don't see it. I've seen people in church, and I sit here sometimes, and they're sitting there with their arms crossed, and they're looking at Dad while he's preaching. And I can just tell they're going, go ahead, bless me. I dare you. It's like, ooh, that's why Sunday mornings scare me. Where's the joy? It scares me. Now, granted, I don't want you to think that all throughout your life, you're going to be jumping around, skipping off walls, and smiling all the time. People say, hey, smile. Like, I don't feel like smiling. But sometimes you're not going to be smiling. Hey, listen, I can tell you these last 2 weeks, there hasn't been a lot of smiles. But you know what? I could tell the joy of the Lord is in my parents' heart. The joy of the Lord is in Kathy McLean's heart. Let me tell you, despite everything she's going through. And that's the key. Not always going to be smiling, but you always have something to rejoice in. True joy cannot be touched by other men or outward circumstances. Joy always finds a reason to exist in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the fruit of joy. And then the third one you see here in verse 22 is love, joy, and then peace. I call this the ultimate result. Complete security, hope, and satisfaction through Jesus Christ is what the fruit of peace gives. Some of you already know this, but what is the most repeated command that God gave to every man, woman, and child in Scripture? Was it love thy neighbor? Was it give money? No. Was it love God as thyself? No. The most repeated command in Scripture was two little words, and you know it, fear not. Fear not. That's the most repeated command in Scripture. Why? Because we're people who are always afraid. But with God, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is the fruit that peace gives. I'm always encouraged when I read this fruit because sometimes the world demands that we change, that we conform to their beliefs, to their standards, to their changing ways. They have no foundation, but we do. We don't have to listen to them because we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Our hope and our home is in God up there, up for him forever. And nothing can come between that. All right, so these first three fruits that you saw here, okay, these are fruits that were for our own souls. But these next fruits concern our fellow man. Uh-oh. And the very first fruit that's mentioned, not an accident, is what is it? Long suffering. Oh, boy. What do I need to learn about people? Patience. Patience. If we are forgiven of so much, our reaction should always be to forgive others. You ever ask yourself this question? How can we not forgive what God has already pardoned? Who is the one who sacrificed their only spotless son on the cross? It wasn't us. It was him. Who paid for their sin? It wasn't us. It was him. If we do not yield this fruit, how can we testify that we truly have been forgiven? This fruit is especially important. I remember Dad one time preached, people need your patience. They really do. You're very patient with yourself. That's true of me. And God has been very patient with us. All those three things are true. And because of that, people need your long-suffering tonight. Some of the teenagers know this story. It's one of their favorites, I guess. But when I was in Bible college, I wanted to dispel a myth. People who go to Bible college are of all different shapes and sizes. They are all different people. Let me tell you, they are not all the same. You get people in Bible college, like, where did you come from? It blows my mind to this day. My freshman year, we were the island of misfit toys. We were a very strange group. And we had one oddball, sweet guy, and he had a SpongeBob SquarePants alarm clock. So at 6 a.m., of course, because he had to get up before all of us, ming, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob SquarePants. Every single morning. Now, I am spiritual, and I practice long-suffering, but a guy who was studying to be a pastor, he's a pastoral major, got up, and he's really good at football, so he took the alarm clock and threw a nice spiral all the way at the end of the hall and just smashed 2 million pieces. And the guy came, hey, man, that's not cool. That's my alarm clock, man. My mom gave me that, man. He's going crazy. And as satisfying as that was to me personally, even though I was standing there pious, I would have never done that. But I'm inwardly happy about it. Even though the flesh part of me was glad that happened, those two became the most bitter, angry rivals. For 4 years, their hatred, Hatfield McCoy's, legendary. They totally destroyed any testimony or any relationship or friendship that they could have had. And everyone knew about the whole school. It was quite the scandal. But I remembered that. That one little act, I understand it. It was somewhat justified. SpongeBob SquarePants, 6 a.m. every day, really grinds on you. But because he lost his patience, there was a rift there forever. Neither one of them is in the ministry now. It's a mess. But that's what happens. That kid, as crazy as he was, he needed patience. And I'm telling you right now, people need your long-suffering tonight. And people have shown you long-suffering. We must bear this fruit. Long-suffering is, very simply, in the midst of hardship and trials, which a lot of times trials that are caused by other people, we are still bearing fruit for Jesus Christ. That's what long-suffering is. Next one, perhaps the most beautiful fruit, gentleness. I was like, what does that mean? You mean like you get a bug and you don't squash it? No, I do that all the time. That's spiritual, amen. Got to kill it. No, gentleness means, the word literally means to be of a pleasant countenance and a pleasant disposition. Not a ruffled, mean demeanor. Christians with this fruit are not rude. They're not gruff or unfriendly. They are polite, sweet, and kind. Not a scowl, but a smile. I want to ask you this question. Do you have the countenance? Do I have the countenance that people feel comfortable to approach you? Do they feel like, oh, they're so-and-so, I'm going to go talk to them? Or do they go, oh, those so-and-so, I'll just talk to them later. Or maybe never. Do you ever have someone turn around? He's like, oh, God bless you. What kind of countenance, what do you exert when you approach people? The Bible says David was of a lovely countenance. Children ran to Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of gentleness. I think I can tell the story. Mr. Wiesek, are you here? You can just cut this from the record. 7:45, you can just cut this from the record. You know, just edit and start. I think I can tell the story now. But when this church over here brought our old property, you remember that, the old building? It was quite a transitional phase. You know, they made everything black. No sunlight was allowed in the room. It's like a TV studio, just absolute depression. It's awful. No, but I remember those days. But as they were transferring everything and transitioning, Dad had to stop by one day and go to his office, so still his office-ish, and he had some things to pick up. Well, we didn't know it, but there was a big hullabaloo at the church that day, at the old property. We didn't know it, but the Christian rapper, Jabez, was sponsored there that night. I don't know who that is. Jabez, if you're listening, I apologize for making fun of you. But the Christian rapper Jabez was there, and there was a huge crowd. And again, that is, once again, by the way, the wisdom of the world. We got to entertain. It's all about the young, and it's all about new and fresh, and that didn't come to anything, did it? But when we went there, we remember walking up, and there's a big, huge stretch limo, and there's all these people. And they had a greeter ministry, and I'm going to talk to Mr. Carver about this. We should have this greeter ministry. There was these two huge guys. I mean, massive, 6 foot, and they had a black suit, black tie, and an earpiece, I kid you not, black shades, and they stood there like this. I said, hey, do you know where the office is? And they just, like a statue, they went. And didn't say a word. And Dad was messing with them. Hey, do you know where the office is? Dad knew where the office was. He was just making fun of them. So he just looked at him and didn't say a word. So Dad let himself in, and he tried to get in his office, and the guy went, what is your purpose? It's like, I'm the pastor. you can go in. And I'm not kidding you. He goes like this. It's like, who are you calling? Take him down. Take him down. You know. But let me tell you right now, that is not the way to show the fruit of gentleness. That is not gentleness. And I can imagine people, visitors coming in. Hey, welcome to. Oh, okay. Never mind. Feel like you're going to be attacked. And I remember that. Like, that is not how people feel welcome. That is not the fruit of gentleness. You know, Christ's love in a person's heart should never make them sour or have a harsh temper or a disposition toward people. Christ's people are benevolent. They're welcoming. Please talk to me. I want to talk to you. I want to help you. I want to love you. They're extremely kind. I get convicted every time I read this fruit. Gentleness is that fruit in our heart and life. And this kind of leads to the next one, goodness. There's gentleness and there's goodness. This very simply means a disposition to do good for other people. It's the question that is asked, do you look to do good for other people? Is it in your nature? Like, I want to help someone. Or is it all about me? It is having a servant's heart. Someone once said to me, and it really changed my thinking. You think I would have known this already, but I'm pretty slow. But he said, Andy, when you come to church, are you looking to be blessed? Or are you looking for someone to be a blessing to? And that changed my attitude. When you walk in these doors, is it like that guy? Go ahead, bless me, I dare you. That's why I'm here. Or are you coming in saying, who can I bless tonight? Who needs encouragement? Who needs uplifting? Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we're here tonight. Christ said, remember, I come not to be ministered unto, but what? To minister and to give my life a ransom for many. If that was his attitude, if that is the fruit of goodness, we should have it as well. That alone would change the world. We're almost done. Hang in there. We're almost there. We're almost at the finish line. There's a lot of fruits here, and I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the next one, faith. Never forget faith. It seems obvious, all too obvious. But you know the verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now listen, I preached a sermon a few weeks ago on the message of faith. And let me tell you, it is the most complete, it is the most dynamic, the most knowledgeable sermon you'll ever hear on the topic. And if you want it, it's only $9.99 in the back, okay? So if you want to hear more about faith, my sermon from about 4 weeks ago, it's right back there. Mr. Wiesek will take cash or credit, right? You're good? I joked with him one time. I said, you know, Mr. Wiesek, I noticed there's dad and there's missionaries. And once in a while, my ugly face is on the website. Could you just put like a little PayPal sticker next to my sermons, or maybe a donate, or maybe a membership fee? Because, you know, mine are pretty, it's a premium content. And he just looked at me and shook his head in disappointment, which he should, so I'm just joking. But I will say this about faith. We cannot live on our own devices every day. When I get up, when Andy Blalock gets up in the morning, if I do not pray, if I do not meditate or read upon his word, I am telling God and I'm telling myself, I don't need you today. I can do it on my own. Faith requires action. Faith is waking up and saying, Lord, today is yours. I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks of our lives, we have learned what faith is. Because it's saying, God, we have no clue. And hey, I got news for you. The doctors have no clue. No one. Every morning is God's. Every morning we must rely on him for everything. This faith is the foundation of bearing all fruit. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. The second thing here, or the next thing here, meekness. Now, this one, meekness, humility. I told the kids this once. I call this the ugly fruit, the unpopular fruit. It's the dragon fruit. Oh, what is that? Oh, I don't like this one. No one likes meekness. No one wants to be known as, oh, he's the humble one, or he's the meek one. No one wants to know that. You know, it's funny. Sometimes when people introduce the three Blalock sons, or when I went to college, oh, there's Rick. Oh, he's the talented one. He can fly a plane. He can play guitar. He can sing a little. He can program any app you want. He's great. Oh, and there's Ben. Ben is like, he's handsome, and he's really smart, and he's inquisitive, and he just catches on like that. Who's Andy? Oh, Andy? Oh, he's nice. He's the nice one. What? That's what they say. Oh, he's the nice one. Really? That Rick's talented and great and Ben's handsome. I'm just the nice one. So, you know, whatever. That's fine. My feelings are, I'm bitter to this day. Oh, he's just the nice one. Who cares? Who cares? That's what you say to the ugly person. No, I'm just kidding. That's why I told you I'm the most handsome Blaylock tonight. But people don't always like that. I don't like that. Or it's like, oh, they're humble. That's not an attractive attribute in today's society. You think about when this was written, the Romans. You think Romans liked meekness? That was meekness meant weakness. They didn't like that. They were, let's conquer these lands. Let's subdue the people. Let's take what's ours. That's how the Romans lived their life. Meekness was a sign of humility. Meekness was a sign of weakness in their minds. But it is actually a form of strength. The greatest sign of strength, but it's under control. No one wants it, but you have to have it. I think you could agree with me that whatever political spectrum you're on, this election season has had absolutely no sign anywhere of meekness. That does not exist in our society today. And I asked Dad about 8 months ago, I said, Dad, could a humble man ever get elected? And he said, only by the grace of God. Would that ever happen? It would be an absolute miracle because humility is not in vogue today. It's not. Meekness is not. But I'll tell you who it is. It is to the child of God. One person said it like this. Meekness comes from a heart that is too great to be moved by little insults. Meekness is the greatest likeness to Jesus Christ. And if we want to be like him, we must produce this fruit of humility, of meekness. And then the last one, here we go. Temperance. This fruit is also, by the way, a form of strength. Where meekness is strength to control what we do with other people, temperance is the strength that comes from God to control ourselves. Subjecting our mind, our bodies, and our hearts to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I want you to always be aware of two things. You are a living testimony, and Satan is doing everything he can to destroy it. I asked one preacher once, what do I need to know about the Christian life? He said, that you are in a war. And we have to remember that. There is someone who wants to destroy your testimony and your influence. How is that done? How can we resist that? The fruit of temperance. Always keep our minds, our bodies, and our hearts subject to Jesus Christ. That's a lot. That's a lot of fruits, amen. I had one of the kids said, Mr. Andy, that's a lot of fruit. How am I going to remember all that? I said, well, that's a very good question. That's a lot of fruit. All you got to do is just come here once in a while and read it. Go over it. Pour over it. And ask God, are these growing in my heart and my life? Remember this. When God looks at you, like I said, he does not pay heed to your success or your money or your popularity. Guess what? That's what the world values. God is looking for the fruit that is bearing in our heart. A lot of people say, there's only 4 types of churches. There's only 10 types of young people. There's only 3 types of marriages. You know, you ever heard that? Well, mine is the most important. Okay, so here we go. But there's only 2 types of Christians. There are those who bear fruit, and there are those that do not. You will be given opportunities to nurture and grow these fruits by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can see them in the lives of others, and by God's grace, you can see them in your own life. I want you to take this truth home. Think about these fruits, and you will be blessed, as Psalm 1 says. You know, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the work of the flesh. That's what they do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth what? Fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Herein is my Father glorified. How? That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. May this testimony be true of all of us tonight, that we are followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, and that we will bear fruit, this amazing fruit of the Spirit, to the honor and the glory of God, who so deserves it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truths of your word. We thank you, Father, that the Christian life is not one that is complicated. It is one that is simple. You're just looking for us to bear fruit for your honor and for your glory. May we be a people, a fruitful people, who give rise to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to a changed life, to a life that can reach other people, that show the amazing grace of God and all of these wonderful fruits that abound in our hearts and lives. We thank you for this time we have together. Bless us as we go forth this week. Give us strength for it until we come back again on Sunday. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.